for about 20 years. And George was the husband who looked after the finances. He cared and looked after writing the checks and all that stuff. But Stacy would, from time to time, check out some of the bank activity just to, out of her own curiosity to see what was going on. And at one time, she noticed that there was a withdrawal of $500. She thought that was a little bit strange. I mean, they would withdraw $100 or $200 from time to time for personal spending money here and there, but she thought, $500, that's a pretty large amount. Usually George would talk to me about something like that. But she thought nothing of it. She brushed it off until a few months later she checked again and she saw many more withdrawals for $500. Stacy began to fear because she didn't see any new toys at the house, any new clothes coming home. She didn't notice what was going on, so she began to assume the worst. She was thinking that maybe George was planning on leaving her. But instead of confronting George, she decided to take action into her own hands, and she began to withdraw $500 from time to time and set it aside for herself, just in case she ever needed it. Now, this went on for 5 years, Stacy never confronting George, until finally one day she came down to the kitchen table and noticed a card at her place. She thought, is this how George leaves me? With a card? So she nervously goes over and picks up the card, opens the envelope, and with trembling hands begins to read this letter. Stacy, in this card are 2 tickets for a cruise to Maui in celebration of our 25th anniversary. I've been saving it for 5 years to make it happen. It's been so difficult keeping this a surprise from you, but I just knew it would be worth your reaction. Much love, George. The power of perspective. Stacy assumed the worst. And what was the miscommunication? Perspective. What is our perspective? But it is our interpretation of an experience. So this morning, we're all going to have experienced the exact same service. And you're all going to leave with a very different perspective. We're all going to have sung the same songs, heard the same announcements, heard the same message, and all of you are going to walk away with a different perspective. Why? Because it is your interpretation of what you've experienced. And so this morning, I want us to get a fresh perspective. That's the title of my message, A Fresh Perspective. We're continuing in our series, Citizens of Heaven, which we began 2 weeks ago, where we began to talk about what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, that we are citizens of heaven. He said that there are 2 kinds of people in the world. There are those who have their mind set on earthly things, and then there are those who are citizens of heaven. Those people, their minds are set on the kingdom of God. And so this morning, what I want us to do is get a fresh perspective about our life. And the reality is we can't escape our perspective. You cannot have any other perspective but your own. You can hear other people's perspective and you can be convinced of their perspective, but at the end of the day, even if you change it, it's still your perspective. And we see life through our own eyes, through our own lens, our own way of viewing life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says this, that God has raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is a spiritual reality for those who are children of God, that you have been raised up spiritually to sit with God in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we might think, well, how is that possible? How can I be raised up and sit in heaven and yet at the same time be down here? Spiritually, you are raised up. Physically, you are on this earth. And this is this tension that we currently have. We are citizens of heaven, but we are residents of earth. We have a spiritual life from heaven, and yet we are physical beings on the earth. And so, to be raised up with him, do you know what that allows us to do? It allows you to have a heavenly perspective. Let me give you an example. For those of you who would boldly say, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, you have this bold assurance of where you're going when you pass from this life. You believe with all that you have that you're going to be going home to be with Jesus. Now, from our earthly perspective, from a worldly mindset, prove that to me. Prove to me that you have a relationship with God, whom you can't see, and that you know that you're going to go and live with him forever. From an earthly perspective, prove that to me. Well, you can't. You have You have been raised up and given a heavenly perspective. You have come into a relationship with a God who has raised you up and allowed you to look down on your life, and you get to see a bigger picture. When you are raised up with God and made to sit in heavenly places, it means that you have a bird's eye view of life. You don't just see our life as confined to birth and death. You see us as eternal spiritual beings. That's because you've been raised up with Him. And so what I want us to do this morning is I want us to take a heavenly view of our lives, to look down from heaven and gain some perspective, because we would all admit it's much easier to use our earthly perspective in life. Isn't that right? We respond from our earthly perspective so quickly. It becomes natural to us. It feels normal to us to just respond from our natural earthly perspective. And so we began to speak 2 weeks ago about the reality that the church, we've been called to be modern day apostles. We have been called to be representatives of the kingdom of heaven on this earth, to bring the influence of heaven to earth. That was what we talked about 2 weeks ago. That was the main point of our message. But you see, there are things that get in the way and make that kind of difficult. And this is what I believe is the number one reason. Where you live will determine how you live. Where you live will determine how you live. And so you live on planet Earth. And that influences how you live. It does. And you might think, well, you know what? No, Pastor Tim, I'm a man of the word. I'm a woman of the word. I've renewed my mind to the fact that I'm a believer, and so I'm not influenced by this world. That's not a true statement for me. I'm only influenced by God and His word and His kingdom. Well, I'm so proud that we have some people in the room who have mastered the Christian life. But for the rest of us mere mortals, this message is for us, because where you live will determine how you live. You can't escape it. You can't escape this world. If you look at our lives in our timeline of life, we all have a pretty similar story. Around age 4, we all start some form of education, whether it be in a public school, a private school, a home school. We start getting trained for life around age 4. 10 years later, around age 14, we head off into high school. Well, what's high school for? It's going to prepare us to either post-secondary education or to go right into the work field to get a job. After high school, we head into that post-secondary education, or we go into a job. Why? So that we can save up some money to buy a car, save up some money to get a down payment for a house, so that we can get married, have kids. And then we start saving up for our kids, so they can go to school, get good grades, get a job, save up for a car, save up for a down payment for a house, get married, and have kids. And then we're grandparents. And then we're great-grandparents. You understand where I'm going with this? This is the cycle of our lives. And so we need to realize that this is the way that we live out our lives is so shaped by our culture. And I'm not saying that any of these things are wrong or bad or evil. I'm just saying this is our North American culture. With the education system and the way that we function economically, we are a part of this world. And so how do we function within this world? How do we live within this world and yet represent heaven in the midst of it? We need to start by realizing that where we live will determine how we live. Our culture shapes us. It molds us. It teaches us how to parent our children, how to spend our time, how to spend our money. Our culture is constantly, constantly trying to shape us. So how do we represent the King in the midst of that? Well, I want us to get some heavenly perspective this morning, and I don't know where you go to get some perspective, but we're going to go to a man in prison. If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians. If you're ever short on some fresh perspective, there's none of that in prison. Some fresh ideas there all the time. Well, why is the Apostle Paul in prison? It's because the authorities didn't like his sermons. So if you don't enjoy this morning's message, I ask you to not report me. And we're going to read Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, listen to this, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. See, Apostle Paul's in prison. And he's not too sure what's around the corner. He's not too sure if he's got life or death around the corner. He's not too sure what's next. And I don't know how many of us can truly relate to Paul where we weren't sure if death was the next thing around the corner. This is where Paul's at. And listen to his number one desire, that Christ is honored. Whether I live or die, Jesus, I just want you to be honored. No matter what. This is heart. And so he starts thinking, as he's writing this letter, he starts putting on paper thoughts about life and death. Let's read verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a peculiar statement. Let's continue to read. Verse 22. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. To live is Christ, to die is gain. What is Paul saying here? Well, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, it's no longer I who live, it's actually Christ living in me. The life that I live, it's actually Christ living in me. So when Paul says to live is Christ, I read it like this. To live is to allow Christ to live through me. So long as we live on this earth with Jesus inside of us, this is what life is. Living with Christ through me. It's his breath in our lungs. Not even your words are your own. To live is to live with Christ through you. To die is to allow myself to live with Christ. This is the Tim Clawson translation of Philippians 1:21. To live is to allow Christ to live through me. To die is to allow myself to live with Christ. And Paul's going, I just don't know which one to choose. There's so many good options. Which is better? This is an apostle's perspective on life and death, and I think it should be our heavenly perspective on life and death this morning. Paul is saying this, it is better to die. From a self-centered perspective, it is actually better to die, because to die means to be able to go home to be with your Lord and Savior. It's actually better to die. Now, this is what we call countercultural. We, on this earth, spend all of our wisdom and resources and money on trying to stay alive. We want to live. We don't want to die. You know, on the list of things that people are most afraid of, death is number two on the list. People are scared of death. You know what number one is? Public speaking. Which means if you were at a funeral, most people would rather be in the coffin than giving the eulogy. People are scared of death. But Paul shines some heavenly perspective that's just, it's out of this world. It doesn't make sense to the natural human mind. Death is the better option. It's better to die. Completely against our culture. The reality is we really like our lives. And you know what? That's good. God wants us to enjoy our lives. You know what he's done is he's saved us so that we can actually experience elements of heaven on the earth. He wants us to live abundant, blessed, joyful lives. He wants us to enjoy our lives. So don't mishear me here. Okay? But I think we've come to like our lives so much that we've wanted to push off heaven a little bit more into the future. Can anybody relate to me? Where I've personally had thoughts. I remember having a conversation years ago with Christine, and I believe this is before we were married. We were talking about Jesus coming back, and you just think, wow, this is so exciting. Jesus is coming back. He's going to take his church home. And I remember just saying, well, I kind of hope I get to live out my life here on the earth first. And she rebuked me. Do you believe it? She did, because she had a better heavenly perspective than I had. I really wanted to get married and have kids and have all these earthly experiences. I wanted to enjoy my life before Jesus came back. Can anybody relate? Am I the only selfish one in the room? I wanted to enjoy myself here like Like, God, can you come back? Because I want to experience the rapture. I do. I want to be a part of that. But can you come back, like, when I'm, like, you know, like, 99? Like, right at the end. Like, I want to have had a whole story. I want to publish a book. There's all sorts of things I want to do, God. And we can think that. We can think, you know what, Jesus, that's great that you're going to come back. But I'm in the middle of season 5 of Downton Abbey, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how this plays out. So if you don't mind just waiting a little bit. We just want to push it off like just another little while. Paul's saying this, if you had a choice between life and death, death is better. Death is better. And that shocks our system because we're so earthly minded. It shocks us. We want to stay here for just a little bit while. Well, a family was celebrating a friend's wedding one summer day, and a young girl approached her dad and hopped up on her dad's lap and said, "Daddy, when I grow up, I'm going to get married one day too." Father said, "Oh, is that right?" She said, "Oh, yeah. But when I get married, I want my husband to move in with all of us because I just want to live with you and Mommy forever." To which we all say, "Aw, how ignorant." Because when that lady grows up and finds a man, the last thing she's going to want to do is move in with Mom and Dad. But why is she thinking that? Because she's a child thinking of an adult's life, okay? She is thinking about an adult life from a child's perspective. And we are human beings thinking about heaven from a human being's perspective. We've got a wrong perspective. We've got a distorted view of our salvation. We're like a little girl. We don't understand what it's going to be like to grow up. We need a fresh perspective this morning on life and death. Paul's saying it's better to die. Heavenly perspective realizes that dying from this earthly existence means being with Jesus. Being with Jesus. You can't get better than that. And so if I were to ask you this morning, at the end of the service, come line up. If you want to live, come on up to my right, your left. If you'd like to die, come on up to my left, your right. In whichever line you choose, you will immediately receive your answer. Which would you choose? Which would you choose? Paul's saying, I'm hard-pressed between the two. I don't know what I'm going to choose. I'm in prison. I'm suffering for my faith. And I'm looking at life and I'm going, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know if I want to live or if I want to die. And he's saying, look, death is better. But you know what he chooses? Life. He chooses life. Let's read it again. Let's start in verse 23. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. It's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul's saying, listen, to die is better, but to live is more beneficial. To die is better for me. If the only factor in my decision is my own happiness, I choose death. But if I'm going to look at life from a larger heavenly perspective, I'm going to choose life. Why? Not for me, but for you. For other people that are around me. I'm going to choose life because I want to see you grow in your faith. I want to see you experience the joy of Jesus working in your life. I want to experience your being discipled and nurtured in your faith because there's people who haven't heard about the gospel yet. So guess what? I'm going to choose to live. Even though it'd be better for me to die, I'm going to choose to live. And we have things so backwards where we think, well, if I'm going to be selfish here, I'm going to choose to live. I want to enjoy my life. Paul's saying that's so backwards. Your desire to live should be rooted in a desire for others. A desire to be a blessing to those around us. He chose life. Although it's better for me to die, it's more beneficial for you, he says, if I live. See, as an apostle, as a leader in the church, he understood that it was his life was more worth living for them than his own enjoyment of dying and being with the Lord. He understood. Death is going to be a blessing to me because then I get to truly live. But if I live, I get to be a blessing to you. He decided to live because he loved people. He loved people. He loved you. He loved the church. He loved sinners. He loved Jews. He loved Gentiles. He loved people, and he wanted them to come to know Jesus Christ. And so he said, as much as death would be better for me, I choose life. You know what? I choose life because there are people that I need to encourage. There are those that I need to speak into their life. There are people who I need to be a part of bringing them joy and encouraging them in their faith. There are people, there's that waitress at the restaurant who needs Jesus that you need to talk to. There's your neighbor who doesn't know the Lord, and they need you. So Paul says, we've got to choose life. We've got to be selfless here. If you want to be selfish, then let's just all choose to go home and be where we want to be with the Lord. But let's get some heavenly perspective here and choose life, not for us, but for everybody else in our lives. Everybody else around us. We can say, I'm going to take a heavenly view here, and I'm going to look at life and death a little bit differently to get some perspective on what God would have for us in this life. If you want to choose life on this earth because you want more time to enjoy yourself, you've got a wrong perspective. I don't get many amens on that, but it's true. If you want to live your life just to enjoy yourself for a little bit longer, you have an incorrect perspective on life. And it needs to change. I need to change. Because we need to realize what it means to die. It means to go and be with Jesus where we are citizens of heaven. That's our homeland. See, the Israelites, they got out of Egypt. They got out of slavery. They're in their wilderness on their way to the promised land. The Israelites understood perspective of the promised land. Heaven is our promised land, except we've come to really enjoy the taste of our manna. We've come to really enjoy our wilderness. And the Israelites were frustrated that they were stuck there for 40 years, and we're asking for 40 more. We're asking for more time in the wilderness. When the promised land is around the corner. That's where our hearts are. That's where our affections are to be, is to be on our promised land, where there is no more need to pray for healing, because healing's just the reality. You don't need to pray for healing in heaven. It's just there. You just get it at the door. Here you go. Here you go. You get to spend all your time just in loving on Jesus, worshiping God. You don't need to spend any of that time praying, asking for things that you need and you want. It's just there. We need to get shaken up in our perspective of life and death. I'll ask the worship team to come on up. As the church of Jesus Christ, God, listen, has raised us up with him and made us sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that we get a heavenly view down on earth about our lives. And you have access to this. You have access to God's perspective on life. You have access to God's perspective on life. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. So if you're a child or a teenager, you know that actually if you had to choose today, death would actually be far better. But for the sake of your parents, for the sake of your family, for the kids in your class and the plans that God has for you, it's actually more beneficial if you choose life. If you're a mom or a dad, it's actually better if for you personally, for yourself, if you were to die, that'd be the better option. But for the sake of your children, choose life. Choose life, because your kids need to be discipled. Your kids need to be loved on and taught the love of God. If you're a grandparent, it's better for you to just go home to be with the Lord. If you want to be selfish, it's better for you to go home. But for the sake of your grandkids, choose life. Choose life, because they need you. They need to be loved on. They need to hear from you. Choose life for them. If you're a businessman or a businesswoman, it'd be better for you to just go home to be with the Lord. But choose life, because it's more beneficial for the kingdom of God if you work with what God's given you and you prosper in your business so that the church can flourish, so that missionaries can be sent out, so people who have never heard the gospel can get saved because you decided to live and work and tithe and give. If you're single this morning, you don't have family, you say, you know what, Pastor Tim, I don't know. This whole decision between life and death is real to me. Because I'm lonely and I don't have anybody around me and I don't feel like there's people who need me to live. Guess what? The Apostle Paul, he was single, didn't have any family. And he said, oh, I'd really like to die and go home and be with Jesus, but I'm going to live because there's people who need me. There's a church that needs me. You know what? Can I speak from the church's perspective here? This church needs you. This church needs you. The church is here for you so you can come and you can worship God and enjoy yourself and be blessed. But the church needs you. Choose life, because the church, we need you. We need you. We won't fulfill what we're called to do without you. Those in the room, you think, well, Pastor Tim, you don't even know my name. That doesn't change it. It doesn't change it. We need you. God needs you. So choose life this morning. Choose life. If you're struggling with depression, choose life. Not for yourself, for everybody around you. For that mailman who needs to be encouraged. For that cashier at the grocery store, choose life. For your wife, choose life. Make it your mission to choose life, to be a blessing to those that God has placed in your family, and say, devil, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to go home to glory as much as I want to until I have fulfilled everything that God has called me to do. I'm not going to go home. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up on life. I'm going to choose to live to be a blessing to others. That's my choice. To live is Christ. To die is gain. But the choice is ours. You know, scriptures say that the power of life and death is in our tongue. It's up to you. Paul says, I'm not really sure which one I should choose. I'm not too sure which one I'm going to choose. Am I going to choose to live or am I going to choose to die? I'm not sure. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's not God's choice. He's given it to you. He said the power of life and death is in your tongue. He's told us to choose life. It's up to you. Don't just pray, God, your will be done. Pray, God, I'm going to live every day that you've planned for me. Every day, I'm going to live it to the fullest until you take me home. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love for us as your people, God. And I pray that you would stir up our minds with a heavenly perspective on life and death. And God, that you would you would assist us in making a resolution in our hearts, God, to live our lives for you, for those that you've placed in our lives, for our spouse, for our children, for our community, for our church. That we would live for others and not for self, God. Make Niagara Worship Center the most selfless people on the planet, dear God. Rid us of selfishness in Jesus' name. Rid us of selfishness in Jesus' name. Rid us. Cleanse us. Make us new. Make us your apostles to bring the kingdom of heaven everywhere we go. Everywhere our foot steps, the kingdom of heaven is there. The kingdom of heaven is there. Let's stand and continue to worship Him.